Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Oh, Benjamin Garcia, also known as Ben, Benny, Benji, you say you go by it all, Ben.
That's right.
which one would you like for this evening?
Yeah, you can call me Benny.
Okay. I've always liked Benny.
Yeah. Depending on how you call me, it puts up a flag of how or when you met me. Because when I was in school, elementary through high school, everybody called me Ben. But my family called me Benji or Benjamin. And when I joined at age 11, I joined a youth theater company and we were doing a production of Guys and Dolls. And there's a character in Guys and Dolls named Benny South Street. And the director, he was this, his name was Eddie Belasco. He was an Italian guy born in San Francisco, for some reason had a New York accent. And from that point on, he started calling me Benny. And then everyone in theater, I've gone by Benny ever since because it felt right.
I like Benny. What do you think, Val?
That's awesome. And I love the backstory too.
Yes. Well, speaking of backstories, this interview is epic in that it has quite the epic backstory.
That's right. Yes.
Can we go back to It Was a Dark and Stormy Night, the last night of Synergy Theater's Myth and Magic show at the Lesher Center?
Oh, yeah.
Benny, what happened?
Well, before the last Myth and Magic show, the Saturday night before, I was on my way from Walnut Creek to Concord when I got rear-ended. And I was unable to do the final performance of Myth and Magic because just I didn't feel it until the next morning, but I think I was just in shock or something. It did not seem that bad when I was rear-ended. But the next morning when I woke up, I was just like, it wasn't to the point where I threw out my back, but the pain just moving, I just knew that I wouldn't be able to perform. So, or that would be all that I was thinking about when I was performing.
I'm so sorry to hear that. We heard that you were involved in a car accident. We had no details. We were wondering where you were and we were very concerned. And Benny, I'm so glad that you're okay. And I'm sorry.
Yeah. And like I said, fortunately, I didn't break anything. There was damage to the trunk of my car, but I think it really was just the jolt that did it. I must have tensed up or something. But yeah, I'm happy to be back. I'm excited for the Mating Game coming up next week.
We are too. Oh my gosh. To go from there to here is a major accomplishment. And Val and I have been really looking forward to speaking with you. So we are so grateful to you for making the time. And we are so, so glad you are okay. We missed you at the last Myth and Magic performance. And I'm remembering now, I think it was Lynn who was talking about your first performance with Synergy Theater being the first Myth and Magic show. Is that accurate? And then she was saying that there were a bunch of hecklers in that audience.
Well, the Myth and Magic show was my first time performing with Synergy, but I can't right now remember why, but I wasn't available to do the very first show, the opening night. So if there were hecklers on the first night, then I missed it.
Yeah. It was the second night.
The second night. Yeah. I do remember there was one moment we were, three of us had formed a dragon and we were going around and I didn't notice it. But I remember Valerie Regalia, mentioned that she could see in the audience a few people. I remember there were a lot of, I want to say it was college students and maybe some younger people in the audience that night, and that she could see that they were making fun or something like that. And that was also, I believe, the first show where I think the first suggestion that was shouted out was sex or something like that. we were asked, so what was the thing that started everything, or the gods were coming together? I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something about, and what would they get getting together? They had invented this new thing, and it would, what was that thing? And the first thing loud from the audience, sex. So yeah, it was an interesting show.
And then it just all snowballed from there, it sounds like.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. How do you approach that when there is an audience before you that is engaged, but maybe not on your side? Mentally, how do you deal with that?
You know, it's interesting because it's true that we're putting on a show for the audience, but you really can't think about the audience. It's about being engaged with your scene partners and the rest of the cast. And I believe that if we are all connecting with each other on stage, then we will win over the audience. Or regardless of certain audience members, there always are people that are there that are with us. And so I think about those people. Instead of winning over people, I just try to connect with my castmates and put on the best possible show. And I mean, that's all you can do. I have always been someone who has been more comfortable in front of a group of people than one person. To me, for some reason, there's more pressure when I feel that I have to win over one person. Whereas if there's an audience of people, I know that there are people there that are going to be on my side. And then if we can lose ourselves in the performance, in the story, in the characters, then that group mentality will take over. And by the end, I feel that the audience is with us, you know?
Yes, definitely. Okay. So how did you find Synergy Theater? And you can go back as far as you'd like. You can go back to when you were 11 years old, if you'd like.
Well, how I found Synergy Theater is that I worked as a tech at the Lesher, but not like a light tech or anything. I was backstage, like a stagehand. And then I also would check people in. And all the way back when I was in high school, there would be preview nights of shows. This is how I got introduced to the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek, where Synergy performs, was that we would go and see preview shows of musicals that were there. And because of doing that, then I became aware that there was this improv company. And I fell in love with improvisation as a child. I think my first exposure, like a lot of people, I think in my generation or in the 90s generations, were exposed to improv through Whose Line Is It Anyway? I can't tell you, as a family, I don't think there was a show that guaranteed you brought us more joy than Whose Line Is It Anyway? We could watch it as a family and guaranteed we were going to laugh so hard. And then when I was 10 or 11 years old, I joined a youth theater company, like I mentioned earlier, with that Italian director, Belasco Theater Company. And every time we were going to do a new show, there were a bunch of rehearsals before auditions and before we got the scripts to the show. So one of the things that we would do is we would play improv games or do improvised scenes. And to me, putting on the show was really exciting and I loved it. But those rehearsals before we got the script and were able to improvise, that was something that I had never experienced before. And that excitement of being the audience member and the performer kind of at the same time, there's just nothing else that's like that, in my opinion. And so when I started to work at the Lesher Center, and I was aware that there was this company, Synergy Theater, that was doing improvised plays there, I went to see Improvised Brothers Grimm. I want to say this was in 2017, maybe 2018, Improvised Brothers Grimm. I was just so blown away by the show. I loved it. I went up afterwards and met Ken and talked to Ken, and I took home a flyer, and doing the research, I saw that they had classes. So I signed up for a class. I took my first, as an adult, improv class, because I had done improv in high school. I was on the improv team in high school, but a real improv class as an adult, that foundation one class with Synergy was just incredible. And I was hooked from that point forward. When everything went online because of the pandemic, I was taking the online classes, and then I was in the student performance ensemble, as you know, because you were there too, Sarah. And then when things got back to being in person, I was excited to come back again and then join the company, was unable to do Hitchcock. And so then I, Myth and Magic was the first one. So that is how I discovered and then became a part of Synergy Theater.
Well, yes, I've had the pleasure of being in a couple scenes with you, and I have always enjoyed being in a scene with you, Benny. And to speak to what you were saying before, to be in a scene with you is to be nowhere else. I have no problem focusing on what you and I may be pretending to do or be. And it's just been such a joy to be in scenes with you. And then I'm so excited that you are now part of the Synergy team, because they are just going to eat you up as far as your many, many talents. And I am so excited to see what you're going to bring to the Mating Game. Hey, Val, do you have any questions for Benny?
I'm just listening in because I'm enjoying everything so much. Benny, I want to say how much I enjoyed you on Duluth.
Yes.
That's the first time I saw you, and I watched every episode, and I must say, I didn't know who you were, but I was really captivated by your character.
Well, thank you so much. Duluth, which was an online improvised soap opera, I had such a wonderful experience in that. Online improvisation is tough, and when everything went online, we did it because that was it. That was the only option. But what I loved about Duluth was that, okay, so if it's going to be online, then how do we really do as much as we can? And what was cool about that was that there were improvisers from all over the world, and we were improvising together on 16 episodes when it was all said and done. Mm-hmm. 16 episode soap opera. With people, Louise was in Mexico, and there were people in Austria, and there were people in Britain and Canada. And it was just like, yeah, that is what made it exciting. And then Griffin was a part of that as well. And having the chance to work with Griffin was great, because I had seen him, but I hadn't been able, I'd seen him perform rather, but I hadn't been able to work with him before. Same with Louise. I loved that experience. And I loved the idea behind Duluth and what they were trying to accomplish. It was great. It was a really great experience.
What character were you speaking about, Val? Benny's character on Duluth?
Was it Angel?
That's right. Uh-huh.
You played Angel, and you ran a bakery with your husband. That's anyway. Something like that. There was corruption, but it was still it was still so much fun to watch. And again, I thought everybody was, I didn't know where you were from. Like you said, people were from all over the world. And when Griffin mentioned last year that you were joining, I didn't know you were local. I didn't know you were in the Bay Area. So I was just thrilled. I'm like, what? Benny's joining Synergy? You know, I was just, it was like, what? I had a celebrity moment. And yeah, truly, it was just surreal to see somebody for like several months online, and then you were right in front of me in real life.
Right.
So yeah, can't wait to see you. Are you getting kind of nervous? Your show opens Thursday.
I am so excited for this show, because I was familiar with the short form improv game, the dating game. Oh, I apologize. My cat, Carl, really wants to be a part of this conversation. He is rubbing his head against my phone here. But anyway, I love that game, and to the way that Valerie has structured this and expanded it into a full two-act play is just wonderful. It's exciting every time, all the different roles that are there. So I'm really excited just to see how different the shows can be and to get the opportunity to play all these different characters within this world, this taping of this episode of The Mating Game. I'm really excited.
So one of my favorite questions to ask the Synergy players when I get to talk to them is this. Benny, you ready? It mm-hmm. is, what has surprised you during rehearsal?
What has surprised me is how deep of a well is there with this what was once a short form improv game, that we are able to have what is essentially happening is we're seeing these three, because there's three contestants and then the bachelor, bachelorette, these three relationships that they're really able to be fully realized within the taping of one episode of this show. It's just incredible. It's almost like seeing a film where someone is thinking about their past relationships. And there's, I think I've even seen films like that. And then instead of flashbacks, oh, this relationship was where I gave all of myself to this person. And then I was kind of burnt. And so in the next one, I was very defensive or whatever it is. This was the struggling artist relationship that I had. This person I was really enamored with, but they weren't really interested in me. And instead of doing it in flashback form, you get to see these three and really multiple relationships, because you've got the host, you've got the production assistant, play out in front of you simultaneously is incredible. I love that. It's so exciting. And it's surprising. I didn't know that it would be possible. Again, because the game itself is a short form, very surface level, funny game. And with the mating game, because we're able to see these relationships really play out, there's some depth, there's definitely pathos, there's romance and heartbreak within that, which you don't really get that with the short form game. And you don't get that with the dating game, the original show. It's all very surface level, cracking a joke and maybe flirtatious, but that's about it. And with the mating game, we get to see all of these relationships play out and really go on a ride with this bachelor or bachelorette. And that's just so surprising and exciting. Yeah.
Why do you think that well is so deep?
I think it speaks to, well, you know what? It's because we have all had those relationships, and to be with improvisers like everyone at Synergy, who are really not just going for a laugh. Naturally, everyone is very funny, but that's not the point. It's not just to be funny or to crack a joke, but to really explore these relationships. And everyone is so willing and excited to do the work and really dive in. And that's what makes it exciting and surprising every time.
Do you find yourself mining some of your memories of past relationships?
You know, it happens. It's unavoidable. Those things come up. I'll say something out loud and I go, oh, okay, I know where that came from, but I didn't plan it. And after the fact, I'm like, okay, I know who that was, or I know what that was a response to, or where this is coming from. And that is exciting when I see one of the other improvisers going down this path that I am familiar with, and we haven't talked about it. And I go, okay, well, they must have had that same experience. And again, I'm not thinking that in the moment. It's only after the fact that I'm like, look at how this lined up. It's amazing, because everyone is so unique and individual, but our stories, we find so much common ground. And I think that's the power of improvisation, right? We're always looking for ways to agree with each other and connect with each other. And it's the fact that we're all so individual and we have all these different histories and experiences that makes it interesting and exciting and surprising, but it's so comforting to find that common ground, especially unexpectedly, unforced. It just happens. It will happen. There's a great improv game that's called Convergence or Mind Meld, where two people will say a random word at the same time, and then they'll hear those two words and then you go, okay, well, that makes me think of this. And you count down from three and you say another random word. And if you play mind meld long enough, eventually without trying, both improvisers will say the same word at the same time. And it's not about how quickly can we get there, because it's the journey that makes it interesting and exciting. And that happens on a subconsciously on a larger scale in every show. And so that's just, it's wild.
That is wild. And so that makes me think of two questions. One is, what is an example of common ground that you have found as you have rehearsed the Mating Game with Synergy? That's question number one. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me think about this last rehearsal that we had. Oh, that's a difficult question, actually.
Would you like me to go to question number two while you think about
it? Yeah, it'll inspire an answer to question one.
Sure. Why do you think that mind meld happens with people?
I think no matter what our culture is and our background is and our age and identity, all of these things that can be different, we have the shared experience of being a human being on this crazy planet at this time. And I have always believed that at least as a starting place, we are deep, 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 deep down so very similar to each other. And our experiences and our lives, the details change us as we get older. But when we really, really dig down deep, it's like we're all branches of the same tree, really. And the branches can be different and the leaves can be different, but we connect in the trunk of the tree. And finding that is exciting. So now, yeah, this is reminding me, in the last rehearsal, there was a moment with The Bachelor, and I was one of the contestants, and Griffin was The Bachelor, and the relationship that was coming forward in the story was that The Bachelor had left his family, didn't want to do the family business, and so the family disowned him. The contestant was very family oriented. And I gave Griffin the offer of, well, if I was to invite you to my family's house and we were having a dinner and then we put you on the spot to make a speech, what would you say? And the speech, and I can't remember now in this moment specifically what was said, but the speech that Griffin gave, that was a moment of like, oh, yes, like I have been there. I have been put on the spot and asked to speak to people in an environment that I was not comfortable with, but I was meeting the family of my significant other. And just what he said and how it played out in my mind, I was like, yes, he must have been there at some point as well, because there was that common ground.
I heard Griffin's side of that before he left. He's out of town right now, but I asked him how rehearsal went, and he told me that he ended up with you because you had the most in common.
Yes.
And it's just fascinating to hear his side and then your side. And I'm just thrilled about it. And while you were talking, I couldn't help but wonder if either of you would consider going on a dating game in real life. Would you consider meeting your mate on a dating show?
It's funny because we are in a heightened reality in the Mating Game, but I've never watched it, but I think there's a show called like Married at First Sight where they're connected by, I don't know if it's a matchmaker or I don't know what, but the point is that you don't meet the person until the end and you get married. I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could do it. I don't think that I could. I mean, I feel like I could go on a show. No, I don't even think so. No, I would say no.
I'm a big fat no. Too, but Val, would you?
I would totally go on a show, but it would,
oh my gosh,
it would definitely be short term.
Yeah, you know, I think of like there's a bunch of dating shows on MTV when I was growing up, and
yes, you're right.
Right, and it's cool that they put them all on a bus or that they take them on these adventurous dates and everything. But like, anything in front of the camera, it would be such a struggle to believe that the other person wasn't performing for the camera. And even myself, am I performing for the camera? Is any of this real? What is life?
You guys are reminding me of one that I didn't watch, but I saw a commercial for, and it was something like Love Chain or something like that. And it was like one bachelor person and four dates, and they were all handcuffed together for the duration of the show. And I just remember thinking, huh, well, I think we're scraping the bottom of the premise of the barrel. No.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, that leads me to my next question, Val and Benny. So I would not go on a dating game. However, if you could design a dating game, how would you design it?
Great question. I think if I was going to design a dating game, I would do one of those shows where it would have to have different levels, something about communication, maybe like playing a game where you have to either take or give instruction from the other person. Like one of those, like, you can't say what the image is, but you have to get them to draw a certain thing, or you're in a different room and you're talking on walkie talkies and you have to talk them through something, but you can't be there with them to see how the communication is. And then that might be one level. And if you make it past that level, then you can meet the person in person. It might be interesting to do a first level where you don't meet, and so you really get to see their personalities before anything else. And then in level two, maybe you can actually go on an adventurous type date.
Your version of the dating game, I really like, and it's actually making me think of the ninja obstacle course.
Yeah,
I'm envisioning something like that, but it kind of mashed up with the dating game.
I like that.
Hey, Val.
What about you, Valerie?
Yeah.
I'm assuming both of you have seen Sleepless in Seattle.
That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've always been fascinated by that road trip, being trapped in a car with somebody for 12 hours. So there you go. I love road trips. I want to see how it would play out if you drive 12 hours with somebody taking turns. To me, that would be fun. And, you know, obviously, if I didn't like someone, I would leave you at the gas station or something.
Yes. So that's great. A great idea. So like along the journey, they have rest stops and gas stations. And at any time, either one of them can jump in the car and leave the other one.
I think so. And you have just enough for bus fare.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, Benny, yes. What do you hope to accomplish with the Synergy Theater Players, with the mating game for the audiences that are treated to your performances?
What I'm always hoping to accomplish is to be able to be comfortable enough to lose myself, as we were saying before, in the game so that the audience can do the same. I know as an audience member, I love to just give myself over to whatever it is that I'm watching. So, but there's always things that can take you out. If, for example, if I'm watching an improv show, and it may or may not be the case, but if I as an audience member think that I see someone who is struggling, it will completely take me out of it because I worry for the person. And I know myself, I can get in my head about, okay, well, what should, especially when it's structured like this, like, okay, what round are we in? What am I supposed to be doing in this moment as opposed to just experiencing it? So if I can get to a place comfortably where I can just experience it, that I think then hopefully the audience can do the same thing and just watch and not until after the fact go, oh, actually they went to some serious places that I didn't expect, or I didn't expect to feel excitement about the romance, or I didn't expect to see that level of heartbreak. Not that we're going for those things in every show, but just to be open to those surprises. That's what I'm hoping for.
How do you think you'll be changed at the end here?
How do I think I'll be changed?
I'd also like to know, do you feel like you've been changed at all since you started playing with the Synergy Theater players?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I do think that improvisation in general, the more you do it, I think it absolutely seeps in to your core and will change your life and your energy and your attitude. And of course, it's not just the act of improvising, but finding your peers and performing with the right people. You know, I coach as well, and I teach improvisation for youth theater companies and some other adult companies. And one of those things that we do early on in classes is getting to know each other and trying to make each other laugh is great. And just trying to connect with each other is great. And having fun. I mean, kids play pretend and use their imagination, and to be able to tap back into that, especially as adults with other adults, is so wonderful. And you take that away after the rehearsals and the shows, that magic stays with you and you take that into your life. Imagine if we were all trying to find ways to agree with each other and connect with each other, as opposed to disagreeing and getting my idea or my point across to other people, making people understand how I think and what, instead of doing that, which I think is kind of a human thing to want to make people see your point of view, but to try to meet people in the middle and just connect is magic. I mean, I think that's real magic. And playing with everyone at Synergy, it's just tapping into that once a week at rehearsals and then doing the show. It's just, it's wonderful. The people that you're playing with and developing those relationships, that's so important.
What you're saying, Benny, is really speaking to me, because I'm so tired of all of the divisive talk. And I'm so tired of it, because I really do feel like we're more, all of us, more similar than we are different. And yeah, we only differ on a few minor things, maybe, and who cares, because we're all human and we're all here having a shared experience. And oh my gosh, I mean, time goes by so quickly, and I feel we waste so much time on things that don't make us feel good, right? Like arguing, yeah, and mm-hmm, being out of sync with each other. So one of the things I love about improv is that, yes, I absolutely agree with you. I get those moments where I am in a scene with a person I don't know well, but we're totally in sync. And it has influenced and will continue to influence how I see the world. It's not like I don't see the world's problems anymore, but I'm much more optimistic with improv in my life about the future of the world than I would be without it.
Yes, I agree 100%.
I love everything you both said. In fact, it makes me kind of emotional, but I have to admit, I'm really thrilled about this show taking place in the 70s, which I think is a little bit before your time, Benny.
It's how true, but I do feel very connected with the 70s.
You do? How?
Maybe it takes me back to looking at my parents' photo albums, and also the music, just the culture at the time. Sometimes I'll be with people and that question will come up. If you could see any concert or any artist living or dead, where would you go or what would you do? And something that comes up to me is the Monterey Jazz Pop Festival. I can't remember what it was called, but it was the Mamas and the Papas, and it was Jimi Hendrix, and it was, what's her name? She sang Me and Bobby McGee and Ball and Chain. And I can't believe I'm blanking right now. And The Holding Company was the group that she sang with, but just the music of the era and this idea. And I think every generation might feel that they are doing the same thing of like, oh, well, we really are trying to connect with each other more. And we're not just listening to what we're being told, and we want to discover things for ourselves. There was exploration and discovery, and it just felt like such a, looking back on it, obviously, feels like it was such a vibrant time, an exciting time. And not to say that it was a perfect time. There was a lot of change going on and social injustice as there is today. Currently, I'm doing a production of Hair, and so we're talking a lot about the draft and Vietnam. And while there was all of this struggle and social injustice, there was this idea, I think, that no, but you know what? We're going to change it. We're going to make a difference. And I believe that we can. And it can be through music, and it can be through love, and it can be through protesting and marching and standing by each other and with each other. It just seemed like that was such a thing in the 70s, you know? So that's where I go and why I feel a connection to it.
Well, I have just a few things of trivia from the dating game that are of that era. Do you guys want to hear them?
Yeah, okay, definitely.
Okay. I'll make it so that you have to guess. Okay, so in the early 1970s, this person, super famous, world famous person, appeared on the show. The roles were reversed. This person asked questions and picked a date from three eligible bachelorettes. This, again, is in the early 1970s. This person, world famous singer, and the initials are MJ.
Was it Michael Jackson?
What?
If the internet is to be believed, yes.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. And this is on imdb.com. Dating game trivia. In the early 1970s, Michael Jackson appeared on the show.
I would love to see that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Next one. Before hitting it big on a 1984 TV series, which may or may not have taken place in Florida, this person appeared on the show as one of the three bachelors and was not chosen.
84 show in Florida. Wait, was that Miami Vice?
Oh, Val.
Was it yes. Don Johnson?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, no way.
I know. I wonder who won over Don Johnson.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
Do you think he wore a blazer and like a tank top on the show?
I met Don Johnson.
What?
Wow.
I did. I went to college in New York City, and I was working at FAO Schwartz, and he came in and looking for a gift for, I guess, his daughter at the time. He came up to me.
Wow.
And waited for me to recognize him. Yeah, he's exactly what you think he would be like.
Okay.
That's funny.
Okay.
Funny.
All right, I got another one. No year on this one, but the person will date the trivia item. Early in his career, this person appeared on the show as a contestant. This person was made famous maybe by the Smokey the Bandit.
Yes. Mm. You know, it's funny because of doing the mating game and in research, I discovered a YouTube channel that has a bunch of old episodes of the dating game. Mm-hmm. And I watched this episode with Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
And who was also not chosen.
I love it.
Okay. Well, again, if the internet is to be believed, the master tapes of most of the episodes are believed to have been erased.
Ooh.
And yeah, and there's only maybe around 25 episodes surviving today, including one with a certain actor as the bachelor. This episode is from 1967, and this actor was made famous by a TV series in which he had two other roommates.
Oh,
were they female roommates?
They were.
Ah.
Three's Company.
And so the bachelor would have been
John Ritter.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
John Ritter. I love John Ritter.
1967. Only 25 episodes may still be around.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sarah, I have to ask you.
Uh-oh.
You're on the spot. You're the bachelorette. What question do you ask?
Well, it's funny that you say that, Val. We must be in sync, because for our last few minutes, I was hoping that the three of us could play a little game.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
So Benny, mm-hmm. you are so fantastic with characters. Here's what I'm thinking. I just mm-hmm. thought this up on the spot. Let's play a version of the dating game where Val and I both ask you questions. And you can be one of these three characters. And then at the end of a couple minutes, Val and I have to choose which one we think you were. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Benny South Street.
Okay.
An Italian director. Or your cat, Carl.
Oh, okay.
So you take a minute, decide which character you want to be, and then Val and I will ask you some questions. And at the end, we'll guess which one you chose to be. Go ahead, take a minute or two, get in character.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tell us when you're ready.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, Val, would you like to ask our contestants your first question?
Yes. On our first date, what would you bring to me at the door?
Well, I would show up at your door, and I would bring a limousine that was full of all the different types of any type of booze that you want, you know, just to get us nice and loose, because that's when the good stuff happens. And I would be driving the limousine.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. All right. My question is, what have you always wanted to do but haven't yet?
Let's see. I've always wanted to open a restaurant. I have never done it yet because I'm just too busy. I got too much going on. Always people need me to teach them and get them in the right direction. Everybody wants to be stars, you know, and you know what I say, you know, everybody wants to be stars, but you know what stars is backwards? It's rats. And that's what y'all are. Y'all rats.
Your turn, Val, if you dare.
Okay. I have to know, if you're going to kill someone, how would you do it?
Val, hold on. What?
No, I got
no
this.
No judgment.
If you were going to kill someone, first of all, I would call my cousin Vincenzo. Because, I'm not saying that I know anybody that has done this type of thing before, but maybe we know people who know people. maybe we could get that taken care of. I don't think that I would personally... get my hands dirty, as they say, but we'll keep it in the family secret.
Okay, my question, which is related. If you could change a mistake from your past, what would it be?
You know, I don't make mistakes. You know, everything that happens in life, it happens for a reason. It gets us to where we are today. Would I want to be anywhere else than talking to you two right now? No, I wouldn't. And therefore, nothing that I have ever done in my life has been a mistake. And I hope that you feel the same way.
That was amazing.
Oh, Val, we're not done. You've got more questions.
There's more?
Oh, yeah. Ask him another question.
Okay. We're having dinner. What do you cook me?
What do I cook you? I would cook you a beautiful bolognese, which, it's not a short thing. I've been cooking this all day. I make it with a nice pork and beef mixture and tomato sauce and tomato paste and really till it starts to just the flavor. It's in the air. I wouldn't even say that it's a good smell. I would say that you can taste it. through your nostrils, you can taste it, and it would pair very nicely with a glass of red wine. Doesn't matter what kind, doesn't matter, a red wine. That's it. And then we would sit down and we would listen. Oh my gosh, what would I play for you? I would play maybe some of the classics, you know, Dean Martin. Everybody talks about Frank Sinatra, but the guy was a bum. Sinatra was a bum. It's got to be Dean Martin. He had a smooth voice always. Or even better, I would sing for you myself.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Tell us about a time when you took care of someone you loved.
Well, I would say that my mom, my mother, you know, growing up, and even unto my old age, I was always her son, and she called me Junior. And as she got up older in years, I had the opportunity to take care of her. And that was one of the greatest joys of my life, to be able to give back to this incredible woman who raised me on her own. On her own, she raised me. And that was a time where I took care of her. And it was, as I said, it was a great joy to be able to do that for her.
Bravo, Benny. That was so fun.
That was so amazing.
Thank you so much. Okay, Val, you ready to guess? Our character choices were Benny Southstreet, an Italian director, or Benny's cat, Carl. Which one do you think Benny was portraying?
I am leaning towards the first one. The Bolognese really convinced me.
Okay, so your guess is Benny Southstreet?
Yes.
Okay. My guess is Benny's cat, Carl.
I would love it if Carl had that energy. Oh, I would love that.
Okay, Betty, set us straight.
That was Eddie Belasco, my youth theater director. He was such a vibrant person. Anytime I get the opportunity to play him, I take it, because as you can see, that's who he was. Would he be allowed to run a youth theater company today? I think not. That rats thing was a quote. He would yell that at us kids.
Wait, Benny, was this when you were 11?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I was 11 years old. And here's this guy. He was the type of guy that he would yell at you all through rehearsals. And then opening night of the show, after the show, he would be screaming from the back of the theater, "Outstanding, better than Broadway, amazing," you know, and he would cry, and it was just great. I miss him.
Wow, what a wonderful character. And you'll always have that character with you, always.
That's right.
Yeah. Benny, is there anything that you want to make sure that we talk about, or anything that you would like our audience to know?
You know, I just want to say that this has been great. I have enjoyed this conversation very much. And if you're able to come out and see The Mating Game or anything that Synergy does, it's wonderful to see a company that is so focused on creating plays as opposed to the short form that I was exposed to in Whose Line Is It Anyway. I think that's something that Synergy does really well is giving that sense of like, oh yeah, this is not just surface level. We're not just going for jokes. And there's some real moments, some beautiful moments in everything that I've seen that they have done, as I'm sure will continue to be in everything that they do. So if you have the opportunity, come out and see it. It's going to be fun. Yes, it's set in the 70s. So there's going to be that aspect of it that you can enjoy. And then also just to be able to see these relationships and these characters, it's wonderful. So if you get the chance, come out and check it out. Yeah.
Well, you know that Val and I will be there, and we will be cheering you on from the edge of our seats. Val, did you have anything you would like to say?
No, just a big grazie. Thank you, Benny. This is very enjoyable. Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Yes. Thanks for having me. Thanks for talking to me.
Yes. And Benny, we will see you at the Lesher. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that's our show. If you think improv sounds like fun, it is. If you think you'd like to try improv, it's easy. Just go to synergytheater.com and click on School of Improv. Synergy Theater offers beginner, advanced, and master classes. Synergy Theater is also on Facebook. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast. Your support makes a difference. Synergy Theater is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit that depends on the participation of current and future star supporters and improvisers like you. Thank you.